Next up with our split show, Diane Collins joins us. Her work, Do You Quantum Think? New thinking that will simply rock your world. We're going to talk with Diane about that when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Let me tell you a little bit about Diane Collins, one of the foremost thought leaders of our time, master of translating ancient knowledge into quantum modern wisdom, providing a platform for the way we conduct our business and our personal affairs. She put it all together with Do You Quantum Think? Diane, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, George. It's just such a pleasure to be here with you and with all the Coast listeners.
I'm looking forward to this. This is our feel-good night tonight, Diane. No doom and gloom.
Well, I'm definitely into feeling good, I can tell you that.
Well, we're overdue for it, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Now, when they call you...
Go ahead.
When they call you a thought leader, what is that?
Well, you know how publicists make up names, publishers. They make up these, you know, but, you know, I think of a thought leader as someone who is initiating a way of thinking in whatever field you're in. So if it's something where it's considered innovative in any way, if it's something that is considered, let's say, transcending the status quo of the way whatever it is being thought about. So that's how I think of a thought leader. How do you think of it?
Well, you know, when I think of quantum thinking, to me, there's that difference between science and metaphysical thinking and just practical thinking as well. I assume you throw it all together into one batch.
That's exactly right. And, you know, what happened for me is that, you know, people say, well, what's quantum thinking? You know, how did you come up with that? And it wasn't, George, like one day I said, I think I'll invent a new system of thinking and call it quantum think. It's sort of like it tapped me on the shoulder. It found me as its vehicle. But what happened is I had a quest. And like you, an inquiring mind, and I was, you know, been listening to your shows, of course, which I love, and I was listening to you with David Talbot yesterday.
What a great mind he has.
Oh, yeah, God. I really enjoyed him. And you know, just listening to you talking about how there are these, the mystery of life, of what it's all about, of what are we doing here and what are we supposed to be doing here? When you look in the world, you know, in the 3D reality, as people refer to it, and you think, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. So I was also really grew up inquiring. And, you know, what I was thinking, and actually I wrote in Do You Quantum Think, is that, you know, as you said, it's an ultimate mystery, but that doesn't keep us from exploring, from inquiring. So I looked around and I thought, you know, everyone wants results. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, in order to create anything, you'd have to know about the dynamics of creation for human beings. What have we been endowed with? And I had this vexing question. With 6,000 years of wisdom available, at least 6,000 years, available at the touch of a smartphone, a tablet, whatever, how is it we're still not living it? So, you know, in my teenage years, this is what I was looking at. I thought, well, we have all, you know, the scriptures, the ancient wisdom, the modern wisdom teachers, you know, all the, you know, self-help people and all the experts, yet there's this huge discrepancy, and all you have to do, and don't take my word for it, is turn on the internet, turn on the news, look at the headlines, and it's enough to make your head spin.
Wow, some of the most bizarre stories over the last few weeks. I mean,
oh my goodness.
Strange.
So, you know, and we're in that time, which we can talk about in a moment. So, but what happened for me is I thought, well, okay, how do we get out of this mess, Ollie? And, you know, at some intuitive level, and I'm sure I was born with this, that I knew it would take a literal leap in human consciousness. It was going to take an evolution of consciousness. So I kept exploring, and of course, along the way, like many people listening, you come across as you think, so you become. Form follows thought. I mean, even if you're not a seeker or part of the consciousness crowd, as I like to call us, you know, you realize that everything begins in thought. Whatever we create in this world, someone had to think of it first. And comes, you know, the ancient wisdom, the Buddha said, all that you are is a result of what you've thought. Both the Christian and Judaic Bibles read, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In the Upanishads, which the ancient holy, the holy men of ancient India said, one's own thought is one's world. What a person thinks is what he becomes, right? So, you know, you can find this in many areas. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, thought creates reality. Well, how does it do that? And if all you had to do was change your thought to change your world, to change your life, well, why does my life still look the way it does? It was all that simple.
Wish it were that easy, right?
Exactly. Now, so this is what I kept exploring, and I came to what I call my revelation. And I'll just say short anecdotally how that happened. Because I think you've had Dr. Fred Alan Wolf on the show, have you?
We sure have, and he wrote the foreword to your book.
He did, and he's a good friend, and I call him my mentor in quantum physics. I'm not a scientist, but of course I study it assiduously on my own, not the mathematics, I might say, but the experiments and the thinking and, you know, the discoveries. So I was having a conversation with Fred years ago, and he was showing me how scientists make new discoveries, and they invent a new terminology, a la quantum leap, for example, which Max Planck, one of the fathers of quantum mechanics, discovered that energy does not move in a smooth, continuous flow, that it bursts in leaps. And in packets of energy that he called quanta. So Fred was explaining to me how the discovery is made and make a new term. Actually, quantum leap came into the language not until way after that exact term, around 1927, based on my own research. And then eventually that term comes into our thinking, into the language, and therefore into the thinking. And now we use this term, quantum leap, popularly, colloquially, to mean anything discontinuous with the past. An instantaneous shift in state is basically what it means, with no traceable pathway. So when people use the word nonlinear, a quantum effect, this is, as you know, what it is, but I'm just saying it for those who may not be familiar with it.
Sure.
So my revelation was this. Oh, well, wait a minute. We're living in a universe of whole systems. Everything is a system, interpenetrating one another. Universe as holistic and holographic. Holistic is not, as we know, just an alternative way of healing. That is the nature of reality. So I thought, it's not one term. It's not one thought. It's the whole system. And I realized, George, we're in a quantum age. We have much more expanded and more accurate and up-to-date knowledge, which you, thank goodness, portray and, you know, present on your show all the time. All of this new knowledge, yet, as a humanity, as a culture, we're still under the influence of the industrial age worldview thinking. Now, this is true. I'm going to go out and really make a big assertion here.
All right.
This is true even for those of us who are familiar with quantum principles, with the principles of resonance, the principle of subtle energy and how that works, non-local consciousness and the mind, non-local mind field. Even those of us who understand it's a multidimensional reality, it's not just physical, even so, we're still under the influence of what I lovingly call, because it had genius in it as well, of course, gave rise to the age of machinery and many other things, the discipline of the sciences and all that. But from that 17th century, classical mechanical worldview, the technical name for it, the industrial worldview, all of these are synonymous, scientific materialism, the scientists declared only matter is real. Only physical matter is real. Now, side note, maybe they did that to get away from the church, because we know that Newton and many of the scientists of the time also were spiritual themselves.
But there's got to be more than just what they think.
Well, yeah, of course, because what happened is that oriented us and our what the institutions that we live within, our systems in the society, that silently and in the background, that overarching worldview shaping our thinking gave rise to institutions such as our educational system, for example. In traditional education, we only matter is real, is what shaped it. So what do we study? We study the gray matter, the brain. Maybe we study the electrical connections between the brain, the neuronal connections. But we're not taught yet, I like to create as I'm going, that we are. We're not yet teaching the what I consider the five natural faculties of mind. We're not aware of that the big paradigm shift, as you know, has been from a matter-based reality, and many scientists still, as you know, also think that, you know, consciousness is an epiphenomenon of the brain. Somehow the brain is manufacturing consciousness when the rest of us know that the brain is a transmitter-receiver of consciousness, of mind, you know, that individualizes in what we experience as our own mind, but our own mind is not really separate. So we're not learning in school, George.
Power
of intent.
Consciousness has got to exist beyond the mind, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's beyond the cognitive. But when I use the word mind, I'm glad you said that, because I should say, when I use the word mind, I mean the individual. I mean both. It's a both-and world, this quantum worldview. The individualized form of mind that is part and parcel, one with the one mind that is infinite, infinite mind, infinite consciousness, however you want to relate to it. It's an infinite possibility universe. So we're not learning in school the power of intent, how to use the intuition as an access to non-local mind fields, the way that, you know, the remote viewers use it, and the way that we should all be using it because of what's going on in the world today. We're not learning how to transmute, how to tune into subtle energy. This is what I mean. So by we're still under the influence. Now, on an individual level, and this is what's really important, and this is why quantum thinking is not the same as positive thinking. Positive thinking is a... Is it always a good idea to have positive thoughts? But quantum thinking is very different because it's based in the quantum worldview.
Which of the two is the most powerful?
Well, you decide for yourself when I make this distinction. Because from a quantum worldview, you're thinking from the characteristics of the quantum age. Now, by the way, I have to just say that, you know, I read this book that was an old book from the 50s, The Universe and Dr. Einstein, where Einstein himself wrote, it was about him, it was a tiny little book. I thought, let me get the primer on. What did Einstein say anyway? And, you know, and this guy, Lincoln Barnett, who wrote the book, he wrote it for that purpose, because he said, you know, the scientists who, you know, he at the time, the most famous scientist of our time, but most people didn't really know what he said. And then Einstein was making the point in the preface that it can take, and remember, this book was written in the 50s, so he said it can take 50 to 100 years for the discoveries of science to come into the public consciousness. Well, of course, everything is way accelerated because of the internet, thank God. And but I thought, well, you know, and this comes back to in Do You Quantum Think, I put it all together, as you accurately pointed out. So I thought, well, instead of waiting for these principles, these quantum principles, to eventually filter into our language and our mind and awareness, why can't I just put this all together into one system? And Quantum Think is a registered trademark system of thinking that I registered in 1997. And we can, you know, and the idea of my book is that you connect to your own consciousness and awareness as you read. So you're bringing something into your awareness in the present moment in such a way that you give yourself an experience so that you're integrating it. Because the whole point of that vexing question is, how do we go from merely knowing it, and I do mean merely, which is almost irrelevant when you think of it, to actually living it, to being the walking, talking, living embodiment of the great virtues and all the other things that we want to be. So here's the difference of the quantum thinking and positive thinking. When you're quantum thinking, you realize these things that, you know, I've already said, everything, you know, all is mind, and that we exist in fields. Now, what are these fields? You know, we can call them, to wrap it up, a quantum field, but it's a field, you know, and the scientists, as I don't want to keep saying as you know, but we know, even the scientists, they're not exactly sure. That's what I liked about David Talbot. He was at least admitting it, what anything exactly is. But we know it's a field of energy informed by intelligence. It's a field of connectivity. It's an infinite field where we can tune into anything. So, okay, everything begins in mind. We exist in fields. There are no absolutes. Now, this is crucial in terms of wanting to create what you want in life, because the old world view, and what I mean by there are no absolutes, I don't want to interfere with anyone's idea of, you know, an eternal or divine creator. I'm talking about in everyday, ordinary human life. It's a universe of energy and flux. Everything is shifting and changing all the time, informed by intelligence. And we, as human observers, what we hold in mind, that's what we hold in awareness. That's what I mean by mind, going way, you know, including thinking, but way beyond it, is that we, as the human observers, by our intent, are shaping our experience, what we attract, what we resonate, and therefore what gets created. Now, the old world view, the industrial age world view, that was a view of solid objects, push or pull on something. You know, you have to exert a force in local, you know, it was a local, right?
And that view's kind of gone now, isn't it?
That view is gone, but what I'm pointing out is how it's shaped our thinking.
Hold on for a second, Diane. We're already at the break, and we will come right back. Diane's book, by the way, Do You Quantum Think, and her website is her name, DianeCollins.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Hey, my first event in Los Angeles taking place on Saturday. Full information at our highlights reel at coasttocoastam.com. Some tickets still available, so come on out. Let's have a great time. That's this Saturday. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Diane Collins with us. Do you quantum think? How many people quantum think, Diane? More or less?
More or less than what?
Yeah.
If you, Well, I would really like to finish that point I was making.
But I don't think a lot of people think this way. Not yet, anyway.
Well, this is the idea. You're right. You know, it. And, of course, I'm on the campaign to have a quantum thinking world. But here's why. And this is what I want to really, I love to share this with people right now, George, because this can shift your whole relationship with what troubles the mind. I mean, you know, we all know, I live in Miami, so I'm, you know, right on top of that Justin Bieber story.
Strange story, isn't it? Unbelievable
story. It's an unbelievable story, but you see, this is it, you know, and I say, your mind is your life, and you are not your mind. And this is why I love when you say, well, we're really beyond that. And your mind is your life because whatever you have in your awareness, in your consciousness, in a given moment in space-time, is giving you, and the, you know, the thoughts we have, the meanings we ascribe to those thoughts, this happens instantly like a gestalt, it's not like a sequential thing. It gives us our experience of life. So your mind is your life, whatever fills your mind. And you are not your mind because you are that awareness who is able to see what's in your mind. Now, going back to what I really wanted to finish this very important point,
yeah,
is that when you're quantum thinking, you realize that there are no fixed ways that anything is. The objects are not solid and fixed. We know that. But here's, you know, you said, right, the old worldview, that's out in terms of science has proven way that, you know, that's almost, as Fred would say, 99.9% wrong. Hmm. But the idea is I'm looking at, you know, quantum thing is not about science, although it has science in it. It's about how the discoveries of science shape the way we think and how we now can proactively shape our own thinking so that, why? To live a masterful, effective life. So the old world view, George, because it was a view that said, okay, let's reduce, you know, the giant machine called the universe to its constituent parts, why it's called reductionistic, figure out how they work together in a cause and effect, press on this, that moves, and we'll be able to predict and control nature. So how did that affect our thinking? Well, we look at, you know, the outer world, it looks like we're separate from the outer world, which we're not. Only in the physical domain is there the appearance of separation, but no actual separation, because we exist in fields and we're breathing oxygen, and, you know, we could give a million reasons, but we know we're not. There's distinctions, but no actual separations. We have all the other spiritual, you know, soulful and all that. But, and how else? Well, if you had to predict a control, you'd have to say it's either this way or that way. Is energy a particle or a wave? So how did this influence us? Well, we look, if you translate for human life, matter as circumstances, use that word, trade that word in. We look at circumstances as fixed. That old world view, you know, observe the data, analyze the data, categorize the data, make conclusions about the data, and then live from those conclusions as if they are the truth. So what happens in terms of a mind field, as I was going to say about Justin Bieber? Your mind is your life and you are not your mind. No matter whether you're, you know, rich or poor, young or old, black or white, liberal or conservative, we all have to deal with our own mind. And this is giving us our experience. And this is why the mantra of quantum think, as I call it, when you master your mind, you master your life. Well, how do we master our mind? We have to learn these dynamics of the way mind actually works. So we exist in fields. Because we exist in fields and there is no separation, there is only distinction, but no actual separation. Well, what I say is we can make a distinction between a thought that we initiate, that you originate, and one that's just visiting from the surrounding mind field that I'm now fond of calling the photosphere, like a biosphere. Because when you start to quantum think, you realize just because you have a thought, and this goes back to, you know, when I said, oh, as you think, so you become, thought creates reality. Well, how come we can't just choose our thoughts? Because I call it, in Do You Quantum Think, the book, the myth of choice. In every moment, we have the opportunity to choose. However, to the extent that we're under the influence of the old worldview, remember called the mechanical worldview, mm-hmm. at that point in our evolutionary cycle for humanity, in many ways, we've become mechanical and automatic in the way our thoughts go and in the way our behaviors, our emotions can be thoughts. I give it a term, least action pathway.
I don't think that's a good thing.
No, but it's not a bad thing, because I'm going to tell you why.
All right.
Because when you look at it from the whole world view and you realize it's not personal, there are least action pathways, least-action, all one term that I borrowed from science. It means the way the energy goes, the way the thought goes, just because it's been that route before. Now, when you realize what I'm saying, if you're actually quantum thinking, you're I left out one very important thing. This requires, you know, how do we make the shift in consciousness? It requires a literal quantum leap in consciousness so that you're looking and living from the new worldview, the quantum principles, rather than at them from your current perspective, which is undifferentiated or maybe a mishmash of both old worldview and new worldview influenced thinking. So it's something like, to keep it simple, if you're living in Los Angeles and you want to know what is it like to live in, you know, you want to know how do I navigate myself around New York City? Well, you can see videos, you can talk to friends, you know, you can eat the bagels from the delis in New York. But until you go to New York and actually live from there, you don't know, you're not adept with it, let's put it that way. And you don't even have the experience of it. So with quantum think, the system, this is what happens, is you literally make a quantum leap in your thinking and you start to live from there, because when you can see the limits of how the industrial age worldview has conditioned us, you realize, you know, I say right in the beginning of the book, what if there's nothing wrong with us, George? What if it's just that it's time to make a leap from an earlier stage of human evolution where we needed to organize, categorize, try to get, you know, the wild, chaotic life in under order and come up with all the scientific disciplines and get into the age of industrialism? And what if that vestige of being stuck with these automatic habitual thoughts that I'm saying are not even ours? And this is how you know, because if you were at true choice, and so I'm calling this awakened thinking, thinking that goes beyond the automatic conditioning, and who cares where it came from? You see, the old worldview taught us to analyze. Oh, I'm like this because my mother said I was a terrible when I was 2 years old, and my teacher said I'd never make it. My coach said, give it up, you know. And we go into, we want to analyze, you know, what's the cause of this, the cause and effect. But what we know we want to deal with today for mastery, for effectiveness in living, and this is in every area of living, whether it's yourself, your business, your family, the world, global affairs, is that you realize, you know, what's the source? The source is what I hold in consciousness habitually. So when you can make this distinction that I'm making now with all of us, and we're, you know, as you're listening, whoever's listening to this, you are participating in creating this distinction with me, bringing something into your awareness that shifts your relationship to it as I speak. And so you can make a distinction, because you would not have, by choice, a thought, a negative thought that doesn't serve you or others. You would not have, by, I'm calling about awakened choice. You would not, people make decisions. That's different than choice. Choice is being in the awakened state of awareness and knowing, being aware that you are choosing that free of conditioning from what works, from what you could say, the highest nature of who we are, George. So because I made up this term, least action pathway. The way the energy goes or thought goes, because that's the habit, and who knows how the thought got there. So we don't have to identify or own every thought that enters into our personal mind field, because it's coming in. We're picking up so many ideas, thoughts. We don't know where it came from. And you know this, because you walk into a room. I like to use this example. You go into a party, you don't know anybody. One corner of the room, you can feel the exuberance. Mm-hmm. They're happy, they're fun. The other part, they're grumbling, they're complaining. And, what are you going to be attracted toward? And so, but before anyone says a word, and this is because we are connected through these relational fields. I know you've had Lynn McTaggart on many times, the author of The Field. And what is she talking about? Now she has the bond. But this is what we're talking about. And my work is about enabling ourselves to actually master this as a system, because the universe is a universe of systems. So when you can jump systems, then you can distinguish. And, our clients, I work with my husband, Alan Collins, Master Quantum Think Coach. We've been delivering Quantum Think for, more than 15 years. My book just came out a few years ago. My agent, thank goodness, says, it's a classic. He says in 10 years, it'll still be current. Because this is, as you pointed out, this is something new. How do we shift the world? How do we get the 100th monkey? How do we get, we have so many proofs, but it does start with us. And we can't be like, half in the old world, half in the new, believing and latching on to every thought we have. We can make this very simple distinction and then go to using the five natural faculties of mind. What is the active dynamic of creation for human beings? Dynamic of intent. And when you see the least action pathway, give it no meaning whatsoever. Oh, that's a vestige of old world view, mechanical conditioning. I don't have to own it. Now, what is my intent again? And this is the beginning.
Let's go back to that party you just talked about, though, where you had good energy and bad energy in the same room. To me, these negative folks on the bad side are going to zap the people who have the good energy. How do you separate and stay away from that? I mean, how do you just keep beating it off so it doesn't come at you?
Okay, well, this is what you do. You when you're quantum thinking, you don't have to beat it off. And I'm going to tell, that doesn't sound good, does it? But you don't have to people say, I they're too toxic, I don't want this. See, when you're actually quantum thinking, now a lot of people think they're quantum thinking because they know some quantum principles. But that's what quantum thinking is, actually living these, integrated. And one aspect that as I wrote an article once, it takes one to tango in a quantum world. You can literally shift the field when you see there is a negative vibe going on. Mm-hmm. You can literally shift it, because when you're creating, George, from conscious intent, you can walk in and you can shift it. And this is because of the core distinction of the quantum worldview, which is the observer effect, And, you know, this is part of that great big paradigm shift in science. In my system, I call it observer-created reality. I also consider it the core distinction. It's number two of 21 plus one, as I like to call it, in the system. But this observer effect, what does it mean? It means a few things. One thing it means is that what I was talking about before, there are distinctions in the physical domain, but no actual separation. And I say it very simply, what you bring is what you get. And, you know, this comes from the Heisenberg experiment, where trying to measure particle of energy, and what was, a few things were realized. One is you couldn't measure the velocity and the location at the same time. Well, that's logical, because if everything is moving, then, you know, maybe there are instruments today, but if everything is moving, you're not going to be able to get what's the exact location. If everything, if it's located, then you don't have the velocity, the speed. So, you know, again, I'm adapting this to how can we use this to influence our thinking? And then furthermore, the instrument of observation is having an effect on what is being observed. Now, what is the instrument of observation for us as people? Because I'm interested in, you know, how do we have a great life and a great world? So I'm interested in how do we have this shape our thinking so that we are thinking in sync with a more accurate view of the nature of reality according to the cutting edge thinking of science. And of course, the great boon is that it's matching and verifying the perennial wisdom, the great spiritual wisdom of the mastery traditions that is common and universal to all mastery traditions. So this is what's going on now in this, you know, people use these terms all the time, science and spirituality. That's what's going on, and that's what's exciting about it. So I'm looking at, as a quantum thinker, how do we shape this? Okay, the instrument of observation is our own awareness, our own consciousness, what we hold in mind. So what you bring is what you get.
What you reap is what you sow?
But it's more, go back one step, because what you reap, it could be like, you know, you're in an automatic reaction. It could be like anything, but it is what you reap, what you sow. The difference in quantum thinking is that it's a conscious living. Consciously aware and awake living. Aware of what? Aware of the dynamics of creation for human beings, the faculties of mind, the way the operating principles of the universe work and how we tune into them and use it in the whole system. So what you bring, so when you notice...
Hold on for a second, Diane. We've got to take this break, but we shall be right back.